Thanks, Megan. I have to say that my introduction makes me sound sort of resoundingly unqualified to be talking about the topic that I'm talking about today, but hopefully you'll indulge me. I want to say, first of all, that this work really is the culmination of a lot of people's efforts, including Anuja Singh, who is in our IPAS Nepal office and spearheaded this effort in Nepal. She's actually presenting a similar take on these findings in Delhi at the end of this week. So we're sort of thinking about talking about this in two time zones. And Leila Hassini, who Kate mentioned at IPAS, who's doing lots of work in stigma, and Ghazaleh Samandari. So it's a privilege to work with these folks. Can I just use this? Okay, super. So no relationships to disclose. Before I get started, I just want to say this talk is a little bit different than the previous ones that were really focused in on measuring stigma and the challenges associated with measuring stigma. This talk is more about a kind of community-based approach to perhaps reducing stigma, although we didn't measure that in particular. Nepal is a really interesting case because before 2002, when the law was reformed to seriously liberalize abortion access, abortion was treated as a homicide, and a number of women had actually been incarcerated for having abortions. It was restricted in all cases. After 2002, the law changed dramatically. For up to 12 weeks, you could have an abortion for any indication. They're not even asking patients. Up to 18 weeks, 12 to 18 weeks in the case of rape or incest, and at any time during pregnancy if the physical or mental health of the woman or the fetus were at risk. And there's been relatively, I'm saying, little sort of public outcry about this change. Providers have become more and more trained. Women are turning towards safe services in the case where they know that they're available without a lot of hubbub. Now, there's certainly the possibility that that will change, and they're starting to see some few sort of more public displays of anti-choice sentiment, but it's been a really, relatively speaking, smooth transition in Nepal. But the law really had changed. This may be one of the reasons the law really changed due to the high toll of unsafe abortion, and estimates of maternal mortality were around 539 deaths to women for every 100,000 live births in Nepal, in part due to the terrain and the lack of access to care. Approximately 54% of maternal deaths before the law change were thought to be due to unsafe abortion, and up to 61% of patients coming for OBGYN care had abortion-related complications. So it was really taking a big health toll on Nepali women. I want to point out this picture in this slide. That's the Safe Abortion logo, and in the case where facilities or providers at facilities are listed, which means they've been trained and are sort of signed up with the government as safe abortion providers, this logo is showing on those abortion facilities, and the idea is that that was all, would be all you need to know that you can come and get an abortion at that facility. So as we all know, changing the law is not sufficient to ensure that women have access to services. So the Safe Abortion Service Procedure Guidelines were put together to define what is a listed facility to provide comprehensive abortion care. In between 2004 and 2009, 245 government and non-governmental and private sites were certified. So this certification is not just in the public setting. All of the 75 districts have at least one listed CAC facility, and we're working now to ensure that there are listed facilities that can provide comprehensive care, and I don't mean comprehensive abortion care, but I mean comprehensive care in the case of hemorrhage and other life-threatening issues. And at this point now, over 350,000 safe abortion procedures have been performed in the 6 years. These are reported procedures, so we know there are likely many, many more, but these are the ones that are reported through the government's reporting system. So you can see in just a short time, relatively speaking, there have been a lot of changes. However, still, less than half of women are aware of where you can get a safe abortion procedure. Only 20% of married women and 28% of married men are aware of the abortion legislation, that abortion is in fact legal in Nepal. And as you can imagine, that is a differential awareness in urban areas as opposed to the more rural areas. And Nepal is 95% rural. Of those who know that abortion is legal, very few are able to identify the legal indications by gestational age. and very few knew, in fact, that any indication was allowed for early first trimester procedures. So there's a need in Nepal for increased knowledge through population-based communication strategies. So the DOGEA program really came out of the government's call, the Family Health Division's call to say, what can we do? How can we educate people in Nepal about the changes in the abortion law and where they can get safe abortion services? So IPAS Nepal and the Ministry of Health worked in collaboration. We have this technical committee on the implementation of comprehensive abortion care group, and it includes people from NGOs, from the private sector, and from the government, which has been a really effective way to change abortion policy and implementation in Nepal. And they came together to have some consensus about the idea of developing a radio drama series on reproductive health, which would include abortion topics. And they even had some listing in that big group about what the topics were they wanted to see covered. So the idea was to educate women and their families about the law change, about where safe abortion services were available, and then to some extent to reduce social stigma associated with abortion. Now, that's the push, but we didn't measure that specifically, unfortunately. The program content was developed by a group of about 30 reproductive health professionals, and they worked with professional writers to have this dramatic serial put together. So they ended up with about 70% dramatic storyline and 30% around reproductive health content. And they pilot tested it in one district, Bhaktapur, one local audience, to see how those messages were received. The radio program was initially developed only in the Nepali language. There are many local languages also in Nepal, but most people understand Nepali language, and so that was the first stop. Of the 26 episodes, 14 had abortion-specific messages, and it was broadcast nationwide in all five districts of Nepal, and they had eventually some additional airings in local languages. We're moving in that way. The primary audience was women who actually had an unwanted pregnancy at the time, but for obvious reasons, we also want to step back and we want all people to understand these reproductive health topics. So the secondary audience, the families of the women, health providers in the area, and the broader communities. This table just describes a bit the different themes that were included in the different radio program episodes. You can see that much of the emphasis was on abortion, the indications, what you do if you have a complication, where you go for a safe abortion procedure, some focus on sexual health among adolescents, including unwanted pregnancy and the option of abortion, and reproductive health in general. The radio program has been linked with our other work with female community health volunteers, and in Nepal they're doing a really good job in some districts doing early pregnancy detection and then referral to either antenatal care, abortion services, or if the women aren't pregnant, to family planning services. So that was also a component of this larger radio program topic for those areas, and that was a really successful sort of confluence of events. So we did a post hoc evaluation. It wasn't part of the original design, but the idea was, could we go through the radio programs and identify the key messages that were disseminated to assess knowledge or attitude changes among some folks who had listened to the radio program, knowing that we hadn't really had a clean pretest, and then to describe general experiences of those exposed to the program, either as target audience listeners or as providers or other people involved with the development of the program. So the strategy we used were a series of focus group discussions that were conducted in two districts, one Tanahoe, which is in the Western Hills, and Danusha from Central Terai. So there were a mixture of urban and rural settings. We did six focus groups, three with men and three with women. We included married and unmarried men and women, and we identified listeners through the district public health officers. This was sort of the trickiest part of our evaluation, was trying to figure out who to talk to, and really people were chosen purposively, and then if they knew someone else who had listened to at least one episode, then that person could be included as well. One of the things that at the very beginning, it was hard to find people, and then we had more people than we could manage. So I'm not sure what the lesson was in there, but it was sort of an interesting an interesting finding. So I mentioned already the number of focus groups. We had about 10 to 12 participants in each group, and the probing with the discussions included audience satisfaction with the program. Was there any information specifically learned? Were there any changes in attitudes and behaviors that would be self-reported? And then suggestions for future improvement, because the Nepali Health Ministry has decided to continue funding this in addition to external donors. The focus group discussions each lasted between 1 and 2 hours, and they were recorded and they were transcribed and eventually translated into English. We actually did, I'll say this again probably later, but we actually looked at the coding of the qualitative responses in Nepali, and then we translated and did them in English, and then we compared them back and forth. So it was sort of it was a complicated process, but I think it was actually beneficial to us in the end. The real purpose of this evaluation was to change the radio program for additional airing, as opposed to for, you know, dissemination in a research setting. So we also did in-depth interviews with a variety of key informants, stakeholders that have been involved originally in the design of the program, community health workers and others who had seen changes or had heard things, and then we were trying to get some anecdotal information on any kind of change seen in the community behavior. There were 8 key informant interviews, and these included open-ended questions about the development and implementation, what are the contributions to awareness within the community, and was it successful, or how could it be made more successful? So again, we went through all of these transcripts. We used inductive coding. The codes were thematically analyzed into a smaller set of themes or main topics all by hand. And we had 2 coders, and in some cases we had 3. And there was a focus on the perceptions and the changes in knowledge and attitudes. So as I mentioned before, we had females and males. We had adolescents and up into people about 40 years of age, married and unmarried, a range of education experiences, rural and urban, and on average, people had listened to 5 of the 26 episodes. So, so in the female group, in the female groups, women expressed gaining concrete knowledge of the new abortion legislation through listenership. Participants felt that the program provided information on safe abortion and safe sex, some of which, in the case of younger women, much of which was unknown to them prior to the broadcast. So here's one woman who said, "I didn't know that abortion is legalized with certain conditions. Before hearing the radio show, I used to think that one can do abortion at any stage, but now I know the conditions." So part of this was trying to shift women to earlier services, coming in for earlier services. Male respondents also gained new information about reproductive health and abortion as a result of the radio show. In particular, they noted that they weren't often included in decisions about pregnancy, and that listening to the radio program kind of gave them an example of what they were missing, and in some cases, a sort of desire to be more participatory. So this participant said, "I received lots of knowledge from the program. As before, I was not concerned with women's health and didn't have much knowledge that a woman can have so much difficulty with reproductive health issues." In some cases, listeners informed others about the radio program and encouraged them to follow the series. In others, the DOGEA program prompted listeners to share and discuss reproductive health issues, and a number of kind of impromptu radio clubs were formed where people came together and listened to the programs together. That happened both spontaneously, was reported to us spontaneously, just among women in particular. Men weren't doing that so much. And then also some of the female community health volunteers who run women's groups or mothers' groups had incorporated that into their monthly meetings with women in the community. So this slide shows some quotes that relate to that information and knowledge sharing. A student had written, "I've given information on safe abortion to several of my friends at school. This is very useful to all, especially for teenagers like me. Adolescent girls and boys are listening to the program together in a group," which is a really interesting, I would have liked to have listened in on that. And that would be a great place to find out more information. "And when I got a chance to listen to the program, I liked it. I conveyed this to other friends, and they began to listen to the program. At the school break, we get together and discuss the topics of DOGEA." So there were, it seemed like for adolescents, for students, that there was, this was actually facilitating additional conversations about reproductive health topics. In general, participants expressed satisfaction with the clear dialogue and the instructive health messages that were incorporated into the radio program, and they found the program to be informative to them. They also emphasized the importance of the dramatic storyline, and in fact, there were some suggestions that it could be more dramatic, have more cliffhangers associated with it, because that seemed to make it more enjoyable and relevant to a wide variety of audiences. So one woman wrote, "This program has brought changes in our village. Now people do not hesitate to talk about sex education. People consult with the health workers when they're pregnant." I was referring to the Female Community Health Volunteer Project. "And as a result of listening to the radio program, for the first time I used the information given by DOGEA. I took my sister-in-law to the district hospital, which was a listed safe abortion providing facility, and had a safe abortion of an unwanted pregnancy." So this clearly is exactly what we would be wanting to find as a result. Let's see. So overall, people were really pleased with the radio program. The presentation style was simple and covered a wide variety of health issues, which kept more people listening. And I think as we're thinking about how do we frame the discussion about abortion in a place like Nepal, the more we can just put it plop down in reproductive health issues, the better. The more we separate, I think, the more difficult it is to discuss. And the main achievement of the program is to make it to the people creating interest to listen to the program. It is rural friendly, and the message goes naturally within the story and drama, and audiences do not feel that they are listening to some lesson. So the kind of idea that the entertainment is the best strategy, that came from one of our key informant interviews. So what can we do next? What can we do now? We feel like this has a lot of potential. It's a relatively, once the material is put together, it's relatively cheap to use it over and over again. So there's an effort now to be rebroadcasting and on different schedules. So before it was all in the evening, so now they're doing some early morning and later evening times. As I mentioned before, there was a request for better plot lines or cliffhangers to entice people to come and back, to tune back in for the next episode. Listeners actually wanted more information about abortion and other reproductive health topics once the kind of conversations got going, then they were more and more interested in finding. Perhaps doing additional marketing to promote and increase listenership. There was some suggestion that we provide radios to different community centers and that those could be used to form these radio clubs, and then broadcasting through multiple languages and through local stations. So a few quick limitations. Obviously, the snowball sampling was not representative of all of the possible listeners in Nepal, or all people in Nepal, and we only drew the sample from two districts, so we don't really know how well it was received, perhaps in other sort of microcultures in different locations. The methodology of using a focus group discussion in Nepal is a challenging one because it's such a collective culture that there's a tendency, if one person says something, for everyone else to agree. We tried to mitigate this a little bit by doing some pre-testing or pre-interviews with folks to see what their knowledge was beforehand, before we got into the discussions, to see how much of the radio program they'd actually heard, that sort of thing. So we think we mitigated it a little bit, but in a place like Nepal, it's not really an ideal methodology. And then, as I mentioned before, there was not a pretest, and it wasn't a community-based sample, so we don't have a control group that wasn't listening as well. But overall, the radio program improved community members' knowledge of reproductive health issues and engendered positive changes in health behavior. By catching a sensitive topic like abortion within a larger message of general reproductive health, stakeholders were able to raise awareness and educate a broad range of listeners, and it seemed particularly effective with young people. And in general, the consensus seemed to be that the use of the radio series made the program's health messages more engaging than a routine public health education campaign. So overall, we feel pretty much that this is a promising strategy. So what's happening now, as I mentioned, we're going into more local languages, working on these entertaining hooks. We're trying to provide more detailed information in places where medical abortion for example, is available now, going to be at the very primary level at health posts or primary health care centers through auxiliary nurse midwives. We're trying to get those specific messages in sort of spot ads that go with the radio drama. And then additional promotion of the radio series in community health, community settings, for example, schools. So I welcome any questions, and thank you for the opportunity to share this work with you. Please. You know, there weren't any negative reactions. I think it's partly because of the way that we found our sample. But we haven't even heard anecdotal negative reactions. We've heard anecdotal neutral reactions, but not clear negative ones. But as I said, I think it's really more of an issue of how we drew the sample of people that we asked. There are people who are going to be the key informants are people that are sort of invested in it being successful anyway, and then the focus group participants had to be identified by someone within the health system. Just it was just the way we ended up doing our sampling. There is a small, loosely organized group that is maybe moving in that direction, but they're not that organized yet. So I think, you know, there's the potential. They have one billboard in Kathmandu. And that's a recent development. So we might have just beaten them, you know, before they were paying attention, before they were listening to their radios. It's a great question. I mean, I think it's definitely something we'd like to know more about. Yes?
Is there an opportunity for other countries to kind of take on this idea? I know that this is something that is being done for HIV mm-hmm. in South Africa and other African countries. So I'm wondering if it's going to serve as a model.
I think that's absolutely the hope. I mean, even within IPASS, we're kind of in the process of sharing what's working in some countries with other countries and sort of trying to negotiate that. So certainly that's the hope, and I think there's definitely an opportunity for this kind of education anywhere, you know, this educational strategy anywhere for abortion messages. It is akin to other work that I'm familiar with in India are the street dramas. So they're doing, rather than having the radio broadcast, they're actually live dramas, and those are really exciting. We have great findings coming out of that work in India, and I think the combination of those two strategies really does have a lot of potential for community education. Are there any other questions? Yes, please.
I mean, I think what's really fabulous about it is that you guys included the availability of services like Where to Go and gestations. And one of the things that's not been true in the U.S., even when we have educational programs around even contraception or abortion, is that we tend to divorce it from an actual link to services. Mm-hmm. And it would be interesting as you move forward to see if you actually have to ever tease those two apart to do it in some countries, how much more or less effective it is when there isn't a direct referral sort of source of information.
Yeah. It's Tracy, right? I think that's a fantastic comment. And one of the challenges we have is in Nepal in particular, and this is likely, well, is absolutely true in other developing country settings, is literacy is low. So the information that you need to get across either needs to be visual, like the Safe Abortion logo, or verbal. And you can't describe the Safe Abortion logo effectively over the radio. So we have to be having these really specific messages, you know, in your district, here are the places you can go. And now that services are available more and more places, it's harder to do that. When we first started with the radio program, it was, in, you know, you have one district hospital and, you know, two secondary facilities. Now that we're getting more and more places, it's actually more challenging. So now we're trying to use these other community links. Like, you can go to your female community health volunteer who can tell you where to go. You can go to your primary health center, and if they can't help you, they can tell you where to go. So it's a challenge when there are lots of options, which is not necessarily the case in the U.S. Any other questions? Great. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.